Good evening. James McKenna here with my Science Hour for August 23rd, 2018. And first of all, a note for kids, young people, young adults, college-age students, graduate students, etc. There's really a lack in public radio. This goes across the board of attention being given to young adults. And I include that all the way down to age three. There is the news, a lot of the things that are happening today really affect kids. And so I'm going to try and support young people as much as I can in my radio broadcasts. So that'll be, I talked about this last week. But first of all, including this horrific case in Iowa, this situation where a young girl named Molly Tibbetts was out jogging and did not return later, only to find out they found out who the perpetrator was because of cameras. They were able to look on cameras and see this person's car and determined that that's who was following her. She had reported this. She had told this person to stop following her. And eventually this person abducted her, murdered her. And this is horrific. This is a situation that should have been prevented. And as it turns out, this person was an illegal alien. Now, I have been outspoken against illegal aliens in this country. Now, there's a sentiment that comes through the mainstream media like, oh, these are just wonderful people. And we should let them all in, and, you know, they're just like you and me, and that's really not the case. The people who are in the United States illegally, it's not like they had something going on in their own country, for starters. And these situations are preventable. I have a lot of experience with the immigration system. I've been involved in it in the background and through other situations, etc. But there's a long and arduous process for people to become, to enter the country, to become functional in terms of residential, becoming a resident, then becoming functional as in terms of getting into a citizen track program, and it's extensive. It lasts years. And the people that do this the right way understand how difficult this is. So to just open up the doors and let everybody in, like it's just a big free-for-all and it's just great, this is the end result. And I'm going to say, and some people say, well, this is just an abnormality. And what I'm going to tell you is that, no, this is not an abnormality. This is more the norm than otherwise. Because here's the thing, and I have lived in Latin American countries. I have experience with other countries. And, for example, the Latin culture, there's a thing called machismo. This guy that killed this young girl was just practicing his machismo. That's his manhood, to go and do anything to women that he wants. That's the culture, and a lot of people here don't understand that concept, that's inbred in the culture. So when you bring those people here, you're going to bring that culture with them. And so the end result is that American women and European women from the Arab cultures are basically being stalked constantly because it's the belief system of these people that they can do whatever they want, that women are there for their taking. So this is not abnormal. This is the norm. And if you go, like I have, I've taught in universities, I've taught in schools, I've met people rich and poor from Latin American countries, and this is prevalent in their society. So when you bring people here, now a lot of people went to Mexico. They go to Cancun. Believe me, that is not Mexico. That's an extension of Disney World, of Fort Lauderdale. It has nothing to do with Mexico. So most people who have gone to Mexico, and I dare to say that people like Elizabeth Warren or Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer or Adam Schiff don't even speak Spanish, let alone know people who are Mexicans or Latin Americans or whatever. And so the issue is that the American public does not understand culture. Now, this is not racism. This is simply observing. And if you go to those cultures and you talk to the young ladies there, they will tell you that they don't want to have anything to do with the Latin American men, a very high percentage of them. And so it's a reality that if you do that, if you took a survey in Latin America, probably 80 to 90% of the women would not want to have anything to do with Latin American men. And that's a reality because of the machismo issue. So when you invite these people wholesale into the country, this is what you get. Not all of them are going to kill somebody, but all of them will view women who are here as objects for their servitude. This is simply the way it is. So this young lady had told this person to stop following her around. She had told other people, and eventually they identified him because of videotapes, but they knew that somebody had been following her. And, you know, this could have been prevented. And these people simply don't go away because they believe, their belief system is that they can do whatever they want. It's what, it's actually part of the cultural norms. So illegal immigration has many aspects to it. When people come to this country, I have many people asking me, can I help them get into the country, etc.? And no, because they don't understand. What do they want? They want to come here to make money, to get a better job, to go to Disney World, to get a nice car. That's their view of America. What is it going to do for them? They have no understanding of the American culture, of the way women are observed in the United States, etc. And so, you know, it's an entirely obscure set of concepts for the American public. So it's very easy to pull the wool over their eyes when it comes to illegal immigration. And the belief system that's being pounded down your throat is that somehow these people are just like you and me. It's simply not true. There are cultural differences. You have to understand those cultural differences, and you have to be very selective when you bring people into the United States as residents, as workers, etc. And this person was just a worker working on a farm, apparently passed illegal documents to, and this is very common because now it's very easy. It's very easy to get illegal documents. There's some states that simply give out driver's licenses like their popcorn, and so to illegals. And this is so that they can vote because the Democrats win votes, win elections because of illegal immigration voting. Now, it's unfortunate that I have to spend my time on this radio show talking about this, but it's something that I do happen to have some experience with. And you're not going to hear this on other talk show hosts, where they talk about these issues in a very superficial manner. They don't talk about cultural issues. They don't talk about the reality of what happens when people from other cultures come to this country. And the whole point is that when my ancestors came here, they were absorbed into the United States. They took on the culture. They spoke English. the Irish people or the Italian people, I'm not Italian, but the other people within one generation, they were already absorbed into this mixing pool of the United States. But what you see now is that actually it turns out that over 50% of the people living in the United States today were not born here. This is a statistic that is very different than in the past, where we'd allowed certain number of immigrants. And make no mistake about it, we allow a tremendous number of people into this country every year legally. So it's not like we're trying to keep people out, but there is a process. It's very complicated. It's stringent. And it has to be followed to prevent issues like this. And it made me sick to see CNN and MSNBC and the other news medias putting this story at the bottom, putting it out of sight, out of mind, and just disgusting. Just disgusting that this young lady and her family and this tragic story were put at the bottom for political reasons because they don't want to talk or expose illegal immigration. And once again, this was one that ended up in a murder, but there are tens, if not hundreds of thousands of cases where women are being followed around and tracked and harassed by illegal immigrants. And this is going on daily. So if you're a woman in this country, or if you're a parent and you have daughters in this country, you should be very concerned, and for good reason. This was not an isolated case. This is the norm, and that's what I'm trying to tell you, that you take people from 13 years old, young males, 13-year-olds to 50, from the Latin culture, and they think that all women out there should be theirs. That's part of the culture. That's the way it is. And if you don't understand that, then you should really not have any opinion about illegal immigration, because or legitimizing illegal immigration, because you don't understand what you're talking about. I suggest you go to a Latin American country and live there for a while and observe the culture. And then you'll have a better concept of inviting people here en masse. There are good people from those countries, but you have to understand, who they are. And ultimately, it comes down to people who have family values. And a lot of them don't. It's simply not in the culture. Not the kind of family values that we have. It's a set of cultures with dual standards, saying one thing, doing another. Very typical. So if you don't understand Latin culture, if you've never lived there, experienced it, then take your armchair quarterback big yapper, zip it closed, and stop talking. And along the same vein, there are groups, powerful groups in the background, that are vying to take this country down. When Hillary Clinton was supposed to be elected, that was the plan. Everybody expected it. And that didn't happen. So now they're trying to upend Trump. And in the background is the same set of situations. Remember, she was going to ban radio, alternative radio, and internet, and control the internet, etc. Well, it's being done through other means. So make no mistake about it. The rights of people, the rights to free speech, freedom of the press. And by the way, this idea that Facebook and Twitter and these massive platforms are somehow private organizations is garbage. This is like, for example, having a railroad. Okay, or a telephone system, and saying, okay, only people that agree with this political viewpoint can use the railroad, or only people with a certain political view can talk on the telephone. It's the same thing. So imagine your cell phone company calling you up someday and saying, you know, Joe, you're talking about these things on your telephone. That does not comply with our rules of engagement for telephone use with our company because we're a private company. And we're going to shut you off, or you can't get on this airline because you're not, we've heard you talk, and you know, you cannot continue using these public services. So it's the same thing. So don't tell me that Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and all these platforms are private, therefore they can censor. No, not true. Not true at all. If they are going to open up their services to the public, then unless people are doing something that is physically damaging to us, in other words, you cannot get on an airplane and start threatening people, okay? You cannot get on a train, or you cannot use a telephone to make threatening phone calls. Okay, that is something that is crossing a line of illegality. But to have a political opinion and cut you off from using your cell phone, or you're getting on an airplane or getting on a train or a bus or driving down the highway in your car, that is not the American way. So don't tell me that Facebook or Twitter or YouTube somehow has an inalienable right to deplatform people who do not mix with the same political views as the people who own these platforms. And make no mistake about it, the CIA owns all of these, ultimately through secondary people. So it's not Mark Zuckerberg. He's just the poster child. He doesn't, you know, he's put up there, sure, he's got his billions, but he's the poster child. He's not Facebook, okay? Other people are not what they say they are. They're the poster child, and I've always said, if you can see their face, if you can see their name, if you can see them, they are not the top people. The top people are invisible. You will not see them. And at this point, you might be saying, well, what does this have to do with kids? Kids have to become very hardened to the things that are going on, because right now, kids are under attack more than anybody else. Right now, kids are going back to school. When they walk into that school that day, they are being faced with unbelievable amounts of politically situated pressure through the schools to conform to certain sets of ideas and ideologies. And if they vary from that in the least, they're going to be ostracized, they're going to be shamed, and it's not a place for political mixing, just like public radio. I've been listening to some public radio lately, and all of this should be deplatformed from public funding. These people should go out and get real jobs in real news media and real programming. I was talking about this on John Moore's show yesterday, that there's a show on public radio, NPR. It's called All Things Considered, and I listened to that as a little kid. And when you listen to it now, it's just a political expose of far-left propaganda. That's all it is. It's just filled with left-wing liberal ideologies. So it's not public radio, and it's not All Things Considered. It's only things considered that are on the left political agenda. And so anyway, this is the same with schools. So kids are being bombarded. Wikipedia, for example, is starting to ban, and other platforms like YouTube are starting to ban anybody who talks against man-made global climate change. And as I've said before, I post right on my webpage. I do not post on YouTube. Never did, because I knew where it was heading. It was going to be something, and I've seen this before. I've seen this with radio talk show hosts previously, that they would get a platform, they'd build it up, and then they'd come in and cut them off at the knees. And so don't become dependent on those. That's why I've told my audience, get shortwave radio. Start listening to me on shortwave radio and start listening to other people. You can listen to many other talk show hosts on shortwave radio, but the social media platforms have become so big that they could transfer over, and that's their main mechanism for reaching the public. And I knew that that was going to happen because I've seen it before. I've seen it where talk show hosts were offered they offered it to me. Jim, you can have this big program in 5 days a week and advertisers, and then we'll get you syndicated and all of these radio stations, you know, hundreds of radio stations broadcasting your show. And I said, no, thank you. No, thank you. And I'm still here, and a lot of other people who bit that hook are not here. In fact, the vast majority of people are so obscure right now, you wouldn't even know they're there if they're still there. 95% of them are gone. They buckled when they came in, ripped their advertising out from under them, and said, okay, now you're going to have to talk about what we want you to talk about. You're going to have to say what we tell you to say. And I don't do that. In fact, economically, for me, things, you know, the radio show, my sales of water filters, etc., are fairly modest. And I think that's true. I think the economy, we kind of joke about that in this water filter industry, that I think across the board, water filter sales are down because back in the Obama era, that's when, say, gun sales and munition sales and shell sales, the ammunition for arms, was just at an all-time high because people were expecting the Bureau of Land Management or the FBI to come smashing their door down and charging into their house shooting. That's what it was like under Obama. I don't know if you remember that. And it actually happened. People were shot in the street, just driving down the street, LaVoy Finicum, other people, you know, shot in cold blood by UN troops in this country. And when uninvestigated, like, oh, that's normal procedure. So the sale of guns was going through the roof. Well, that's not going on right now. People were buying water filters with all of the chaos going on under Obama. Now that Trump is in there, people are turning to business, regular, normal business. And so the water filter sales are down. There's, okay, so anyway, my point is that the way I'm set up, however, it, you know, I try and pay my bills, and if not, I pay them myself. And so it's just the way it is. So it'd be great if people, if you're looking for water filters, I have the best ones on the planet. But if not, if I don't sell enough, then I cover the cost of my show. And I did not become so big that I became then dependent financially to pay off all my creditors, etc., with the income. And that's where a lot of these people lost it. Now, quickly, I want to talk about a lot of activity around the Earth these days. The Earth has always had a variable climate, at least as far back as the dinosaurs. We have not had a stable climate. So my question to anybody out there still trying to hang on this idea of climate change is that what was the stable climate that we're changing from? Nobody ever answers that question. They always talk about climate change in the future. We're going to go up 2 degrees and or 0.2 degrees in 20 years or whatever. And wait a minute. We have not had a stable climate in the past. We have never had a stable climate as far back in history as you can measure. We're coming out of an ice age. Nobody can explain to you why we had an ice age within the last 10,000 years. So climate change? Hey, the Earth has not had a stable climate to change from. So the Earth has been variable. That's just the way it is. Right now we have a number of typhoons and a number of active, large-scale, major equatorial storm systems. One is Typhoon Solik, which is out in the Western Pacific. Of course, we have Hurricane Lane, which is swinging up on the western side of Hawaii, and as we speak. And you, if you look at the projected paths, some bring that hurricane up close to the western side of the Hawaiian Islands. And my read on Hurricane Lane is that it is a manipulated storm. And it's an experiment because, as I have explained, if the hurricanes come from the east, they short out with the current sheet that's coming from Mauna Loa, the large volcano, 13,000 some feet on the southern portion of the island. And if the hurricane comes in from the southeast, it shorts out to the seamount, which is breaking water off the southeast coast of the large island of Hawaii. And so this storm they're bringing around the western side of the big island of Hawaii, my estimation is they're trying to see what, if in fact this will short out once again with Mauna Loa. And it very well may. We have to see. They're experimenting with this storm because this is not a standard hurricane path. It was predicted originally to go west and south and away, as was the hurricane, what was it, Hector of a week ago, which went south and missed by hundreds of miles on the southern tip of the large island of Hawaii. But this hurricane all of a sudden makes a magical right turn and comes due north, which it was not predicted to do by any of the standard models. And so, or historically, if you look at hurricanes that got that far south, they kept going west and dissipated. If they were farther east, they would start swinging north as they came closer to the mid-Pacific where the Hawaiian Islands are. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see, and the data is not all in yet, but I'll probably have a better review of this by next week. Severe heat hitting the United Kingdom, and there's a tropical storm coming across the Atlantic, coming up through the Azores and going to hit the UK and potentially Ireland. So now we have hurricanes as common features in the United Kingdom. World weather is very active, and this is due to the August return current sheet, which we are in the middle of it right now. So that's the issue. It's not solar activity. The sun is quiescent as it has been for years. So it is the August return current sheet that's causing the activity. And if you don't know what that is, you'll have to read my books. I'm not going to repeat that online. And then flooding in India. Tremendous flooding going on in India, those poor people there. There's another relatively, all of these eruptions are, they're called major, but they're really not. They're minor eruptions of the volcano Kilauea. And the just a comment that NOAA, the National Weather Service, the National Hurricane Prediction Center, is clueless in predicting the weather, especially with hurricanes. Okay, so the point of this discussion is that Earth has never... I have one other thing to discuss here, and that is that the Earth is splitting in many areas around the Earth right now and over the last number of years. You can see videos on this online. But they're like Grand Canyon, like mini Grand Canyon types of splits in the Earth's surface. And this is a natural geological process. It's created by two things. They can be combined or separate. One is underground water activity, where the ground, the water underground leaches away and leaves a vacuum underneath or a space and tends to potentially fall in. The second one is that the Earth simply splits apart, like the Grand Canyon, where they literally splits apart. to create a big fissure. And this is happening in Peru and all around the world. So this is, all I'm telling you is that Earth is not necessarily a stable place. 13% of the Earth's surface has sinkhole activity. That's like in Florida, where the houses literally sink into the ground. A hole opens up and whoosh, down it falls. 13% of the Earth's surface is subject to sinkholes. So, you know, when we look at tornadoes, in fact, I thought this was a kind of an interesting thing. Someday, if I have a lot of time on my hands, I might write a book about, people always are asking me about safe places. Is there a safe place to go? And the answer is no. The answer is no. Just pick a nice spot, go there, enjoy yourself, and hope you're not hit by a tsunami or an earthquake or a typhoon or a tornado or severe cold or extreme heat. Or if you take all the conditions that are not amenable to the human condition, then try and find that pristine place in the world that's just great, and where you can leave your doors open and nobody robs you. Look for a place like that, and if you find it, let me know. Actually, if you find a place like that, probably don't let anybody know. But the end result is that Earth is a very active place, geologically, weather-wise, etc. And just when you thought that things were not going to change, they change. So this idea that somehow, you know, there's climate change and that's what we all should be worried about, jumping up and down, I'm sorry, but there's about 87 other issues that you're going to have to deal with long before man-made climate issues would ever become a problem. In fact, the reality is that the greenhouse effect, which they're basing this on, remember, they don't talk about the actual greenhouse effect anymore, because scientifically, that has been booted out of prominence a long, long time ago. The Carl Sagan greenhouse effect, and when they realized it didn't work, then they called it the exaggerated greenhouse effect. You know, just ludicrous. It's non-science. It's just something that somebody has repeated enough times to create the illusion of science. This is something that warrants discussion. Just briefly, this was all over the news media, and so it's a story that has to be corrected. There was a man that was arrested while taking his wife to the hospital. And apparently she was pregnant. She was having her fifth baby. They were both illegal aliens. And ICE, immigration services, picked up this man and arrested him. And so this hit the front pages that ICE is so heartless, they arrested this man while driving his wife to the hospital. But it turns out that they had been waiting for him to leave his house. Mexico requested that ICE and the United States arrest this person, as he was wanted for murder in Mexico. And so that's the real story. Of course, you didn't hear that on the mainstream media. So that's why ICE arrested that person. Okay, so just briefly to clarify the news, which you didn't hear. All you heard was that ICE arrested a man as he drove his pregnant wife to the hospital. And okay, so anyway, here's a story that's very important, because many of us know elderly people who are beginning to suffer from dementia, Alzheimer's, which now is considered to be type 3 diabetes. That was something I just learned. But anyway, the newest research on this is showing that Alzheimer's, remember they said it was due to cooking with aluminum pots and pans, and all of these, you know, what are really like wacko theories about what causes Alzheimer's. And what they did is they found aluminum deposits on the brains of Alzheimer's victims. So they said, oh, this must be due to eating off of using aluminum pans, which is probably not a good idea. Aluminum is a poisonous substance. And so That's why iron is better, because iron is something your body actually needs. Aluminum is not one of those things that your body needs. But the latest research dealing with Alzheimer's shows that it's a dietary condition. And this is very interesting because, just a little side note, I myself recently, because I'm so busy and I just my eating habits fell apart. I was so busy, I'd quick grab a snack. It was something convenient to eat. And so I had to like beat myself and say, hey, no more of this. I got to get back on my proper diet, etc. And part of a bad diet is ruining your digestive processes. And so one of the things you do in getting your digestive processes back in order is to eat along with your food or in salads or whatever is coconut oil. And you got to cut out sugar, white rice, bread from processed flour, bread which also contains sugar and processed sugar typically, but very difficult to find really good bread made from organic grain, not only organic but non-GMO. I mean, it's almost impossible to find just real food. And here's the thing, is that your body does not recognize, just like a bee would go up to, say, a corn or a flower on a hybrid plant or whatever, and the bee's chemistry does not recognize that, and that's why the bee population was declining. But your stomach also has to recognize, in a sense, the food has to be compatible with the enzymes that were developed in your body for digesting food. So if you have hybrid rice, for example, white rice that you buy at the store, which is hybrid, GMO, then your body doesn't recognize it. So what it does is it stores it into fat. And so that's why it's important to eat actual real food that comes from heirloom seeds, non-GMO, and organic, not sprayed with all the chemicals for herbicide and fertilizer and pesticides and everything else. And right now, if you've noticed, they have banned oat products, because what they've been doing is for the entire oat crop, and this is what I've been told, as the oats become near ready to harvest, if you let it dry in the field, a lot of it would fall off and not be harvested. You would lose a lot. So what they do is right before the oats come to maturity, they spray the whole field with Roundup. It kills the plants. They go in, it dries the plant up, it allows you to harvest the oats, but the end result is that the oats are covered with Roundup, which is a carcinogen. And so they've actually withheld Quaker oats and other oat products. I threw out a bag of these honey bunches of oats. I threw it out, big box of it. And, it tastes good. But then again, it's laced with sugar, with corn syrup, sugar. So anyway, the point is you have to eat properly. And your digestion is one of the problems. So getting back to Alzheimer's, and you can look this up, there's a lot of information coming out on this, is that especially with elderly people, they become more sedentary, they lose their activity, and I'm going to take a little segue here into diabetes, especially child diabetes and type 2 diabetes. And that is that... And they discovered this because of Native Americans. Remember, the Native Americans were very active people. They were out, they were moving around, they were hunters, gatherers. And so as the next generation or two became more sedentary, living on the reservation and eating modern food, there was just a skyrocketing rate of diabetes amongst the Native American populations. And so what they realized is that if they got these people to exercise, simply exercise, that their diabetes literally went away. And so like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Diabetes, you know, it's what they try and do is to inject you with insulin to balance your sugar levels. But what they really realized was these people's metabolism were set to be very active. And so they were not very active. And this is what happens. And actually, like they say, Alzheimer's and dementia are stage 3 diabetes. They're actually classified as a form of diabetes today. And so it's a issue, and this can be reversed, and diabetes can be reversed with exercise and proper diet. So you don't have to take insulin, you don't have to take injections, etc. But coconut oil is one of the ingredients that is necessary. It's very helpful, but you have to cut out sugars, you have to cut out that, you know, because, for example, white rice and processed flour turn into sugar. Meat, red meat, for example, turns into sugar. And chocolate or coffee, all of these things attack your bioimmune system, and that is the cause of Alzheimer's, according to the new studies. And so there's a book out, I think it's called The End of Alzheimer's. And so anyway, the studies that are coming out, and I'm not going to go into a lot more detail here, other than become aware of this, because you can reverse, according to these studies and book, etc., you can reverse Alzheimer's with diet. And once the people start changing their diet, you have to keep them on this, because the tendency is to go back to the old eating habits of, you know, modern, you know, the way people eat today is just horrendous. In fact, that's why I love living in poor countries, because they don't have chemicals, they can't afford chemicals. The food they get, they save their own seeds, and they keep regenerating the heirloom seeds from a long time ago. And the seed companies are just, they want to do these cultures in, these cultures that are self-sustaining by growing their own food. They want to do them in because they want to get rid of that seed stock. They want to make sure that the public is 100% dependent on their seed stock. It's really a criminal activity that's going on in the background. But back to Alzheimer's, it's very difficult to eat a diet that is not laced with chemicals, hybrid vegetables, or food stock. And then, of course, the animals eat that. And so anyway, even if people go hunting, this is, I was talking to some people, even if you go hunting, those animals are in the wild eating corn, eating hybrid corn, eating other plants, etc., that have been hybridized and are not the original plant stock. And also it says that if you eat food that your body does not recognize, it puts it into fat. It stores it there because, number one, you're not getting proper nutrition, and so your body is trying to store this up. So you can't lose weight if your diet is not correct. And so anyway, just as for myself, I started taking certain supplements. Probiotics is one of them, coconut oil, and some other items that are necessary for regulating your digestion and your metabolism. Keeping your metabolism up is very important. And so I've actually started to see results. And, of course, another thing is having proper muscle tension in your stomach. Most people's back problems are related, unbeknownst to people. If you have back problems, it's probably because you have weak stomach muscles. That's the number one cause of back problems, if you can imagine that. So anyway, a little diversion from my normal scientific issue, but also kids. Kids today are fed McDonald's and other foods, and I've noticed that people who live off their own gardens and homeschool their kids are not fat. I do not see any fat kids So being fat is not, a lot of people think it's their fault or something like that. No, it's the fault of the food that you're eating. And you often think, well, they're eating too much. Well, in a lot of cases, they're eating just regularly, but all of that food, which the body doesn't recognize, is going into fat. It keeps building up and building up, and once it happens, it's harder to move, it's harder to exercise, it's harder to get your metabolism up. And so it's like a cycle. It's like a cycle that cannot be stopped. And so you got to stop this in young kids. You got to feed them good food, non-hybrid vegetables, fruits, etc. Learn how to identify fruits that come from other countries to know whether they're hybrid or not. There's a number right on the little label on every piece of every apple or pear or whatever you buy. And you're better off buying a pound of fruit and vegetables than eating a pound of meat. And so anyway, okay, enough of that. I went over my designated time limit on that topic. But it's such a broad-reaching problem that it eventually leads to kids growing up having diabetes, type 2 diabetes, and then eventually type 3 diabetes, which is dementia and Alzheimer's. Just a bit of commentary on the California fires. Now, a number of people sent in and information and also asked questions, but there was a fire tornado in California. It was actually killed one of the workers that was in that area. It was a raging fire. It developed very quickly and became a whirlwind. So what exactly happened? What's the cause of this? And so, and why would this look like a tornado? And I just couldn't believe it. They asked some meteorologist on TV, and they said, we're going to show you the scientific reason for that. So they interview this joker sitting at a computer terminal, and he goes, this is a meteorological process. And I thought to myself, oh, my God. This guy has no clue what causes this. He just, you know, throws out that term as if, okay, well, sure, it's a meteorological process, but he did not explain what causes this. So I will explain it to you and why this is different than a regular tornado. Let's quick talk about regular tornadoes or hurricanes. And what causes a normal tornado is an electrical current that connects between Earth and basically the ionosphere. It goes all the way up through the cloud systems, through the mesosphere, which is down where we are. This is the weather layer that we live in. And with the electrical current and connection, once that happens, it ionizes the air down around ground level. And you can smell that. It's like during a thunderstorm, you smell the ozone. And it's an ionized ozone. It's a 3-oxygen molecule instead of 2, which is normal oxygen. Ozone is a triple oxygenated molecule, and it becomes ionized. And that's the electrical smell that you smell, or if you're in a room with some electrical equipment and it's causing some electrical discharging, that's the ozone smell that you smell. But anyway, the air becomes ionized. And it goes, it starts to move up basically a column. It finds an electrical path, and it starts to move up. And when it does, it's the Coriolis force of the Earth, which causes the spinning of the gases as they rise, which then starts to create an even larger current. And so positively charged ions then swoop up even faster and creates, as this discharge process continues, it builds, it becomes greater, and therefore it starts more air being sucked up the column because of the electrical current. It's an electrically current driven system. And that's what we call a tornado or a waterspout or a hurricane, in fact, also works similarly. Except tornadoes are typically over land, although they don't They don't have to be. I've seen waterspouts over the ocean, 10 miles out to sea, with on a perfectly blue, clear day. So what's powering that? Well, it's the electrical current from the ionosphere. But, okay, back to the fires in California. They can connect electrically with the atmosphere, but they don't have to. And what's going on there is you have the rising of the gases due to the fire, and they start to spin. It's the same Coriolis force as if you take water in a bathtub, pull a drain, and then you watch the water swirl down in a vortex motion. That's the Coriolis force causing that, and it's always in the same direction. If it's spinning up and going up the column, it's always in the same direction. So that's why tornadoes always spin, or hurricanes always spin, in the same direction. In the southern hemisphere, they spin in the opposite direction because it's due to what is known as the Coriolis force. It's related to the Earth spinning and the... anyway, it's I'm not going to go into detail on that. You can look it up on the internet or whatever, or in a physics book. Okay, but anyway, it's the same force. And so when the fire is burning, the gases are rising, they can start to rotate because of the Coriolis force. Now, this particular fire tornado, they called it, it's really not, it's a little bit of a misnomer because a tornado does not need a fire or a heat source to work. The fire, the actual fire and the updrafts from the fire are what causes the air to rise, and then it starts to spin. So thus, a fire tornado. Okay, and just in a side note, when Moses in the Old Testament was leaving Egypt with the Israelites, they encountered the pillar of fire, remember? And I'm always amazed at the original Ten Commandments, Moses, the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. If you get a chance to see it, it's really well done. And they depict this pillar of fire very well in that. And it apparently stood between the Egyptians and Moses for a period of time, enough to allow them to keep moving. And but anyway, the pillar of fire was the electrical discharge coming down from the passing comet. And it was a whirlwind going up into the heavens. So anyway, when you look at all of the things that happened in the Moses event, it's very clear that Velikovsky was 100% correct, that that was related to the Venus event, and that was coordinated in time between what the Chinese talked about, the Mayans, the Incas, the early Mayans and Incas, not the ones of the 800 AD time period, but the original, you know, sort of estimate, you know, in the thousands BC time period. Also, just thinking about that, some people came back a number of weeks ago. I talked about the time frames of potentially talking about Atlantis, of talking about the Great Flood, and putting these things into perspective time wise. And those were done as examples. So some people wanted to take it literally and wanted to know the exact year and everything. And it's like, you didn't understand if that's what you were looking for, because I was giving relative times and dates and talking about estimates. But when you do that, there's room for variability in those details. But what I was trying to do is point out that Atlantis going under, it really was not associated with an event like, say, the Venus event. So it made more sense that Atlantis going under was like a collapse of the Bryce Canyon or something like that on a massive scale, or a slewing phenomenon where an area of land literally fell under the ocean. And that's what they say about Atlantis. It just in a single night, it went under the ocean. And that's commensurate with a situation where land, and we see this. They're talking about it in Hawaii now with the volcano. We know this has happened. We see it on the planet Mars. We see these slewing events where things slid off into the ocean on a massive scale off of Olympus Mons. We see this. And so that is a very, very real phenomenon. But that was close to the Moses event also. And so anyway, that discussion was on the relative timing of the pre-Great Flood, when the earth was very heavily populated, and then the Great Flood, and then the generational development down to et cetera. Anyway, I'm not going to repeat it all. But that was the point of that discussion. Okay, now I'm going to talk a bit about diamonds and diamonds in space. Now, I've talked about this before. So the issue with how diamonds are made, I don't know if I covered this. It's covered in my books, but I'll repeat a little bit of it here. The experiments that have been done in the laboratory show that if you take a block of carbon, just pure carbon, and you vaporize it, and you put it in an electric field and send in an electron beam, they form basically what are known as buckyballs after Buckminster Fuller. And this is a carbon structure that builds up a sphere. It's basically a hollow sphere, but it's very strong. And diamonds need tremendous pressure to form. And so that's why they always said, well, it forms deep in the earth. But that's bogus, because how could material deep in the earth, which is less durable, less hard in terms of hardness than the diamond itself, to put enough pressure on the diamond to form if the material around it is not as hard as the diamond? It's absurd. So anyway, the deep in the earth diamond theory doesn't work at all. But the creating the diamonds, nano diamonds in this structure, but then if you get into outer space where you have tremendous electrical currents from comets with the carbon atmosphere, and in that environment to the nose side of the comet, then you can get significant diamond structures. And it was, I talked about this a week or so ago, that the diamonds form the brilliancy of galaxies. So when you look at the Milky Way, or the Andromeda Galaxy, which is our sister galaxy, then you see this light. The majority of that light is actually coming from micro or nano diamonds that are in the galaxy itself. So anyway, and oof, I am out of time here. Just a couple of quick notes. The sale on the water filter items, it's still on. Go to the webpage, jmccsci.com. Seven letters, jmccsci.com. All my books are there. The paid cast is there. Join that for an extra hour of science every week. And I'm out of time. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.